This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Game one last night goes to the Phoenix Suns, and the Milwaukee Bucks get Giannis back at 20-17, but it wasn't enough. Chris Carlin in for Alan Hahn today, along with Bart Scott on Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline, and that is where we are going right now to welcome in ESPN NBA analyst PJ Carlissimo. And PJ,
talk Chris off a cliff, PJ.
Well,
please,
it's not talking me off a cliff. Here's the thing, PJ. I'm an irresponsible talk show host, and what do? We always overreact to things. And you are a level-headed coach who understands what things are about. Having said all that, series is over. Phoenix is going to win. Your thoughts?
No, it's way too early for that. I still think it's going to be an excellent series, but clearly Milwaukee needs to respond right now. I think, first of all, when you get to a conference, a finals, NBA finals, you don't have the familiarity you have. Even with all the moves these two teams have made, and, you know, Phoenix basically put together again this year, very significant moves to both teams. These teams don't know each other. And the first game is very often a feel-out game in the finals. You compound that with the fact that is Giannis going to play? Is he not going to play? Last-minute decision. He ends up playing. So game one to me is always a feeling-out game. If I'm Milwaukee, I'm certainly not happy we lost. There's certainly a ton of things, particularly the pick-and-roll coverage and what are we going to do with CP3. But encouraged that Giannis was able to play and play decently. They need him to play even better than that, and that's not fair to him. I mean, to get what they got out of him, I think, was a tremendous plus for Milwaukee. But it may have been unexpected. Who knows? They may have known all along. They thought they were going to play him, and their players and coaches expected it. I don't think so. So I think even him playing and playing as well as he did might have been a little unsettling, but certainly encouraging going forward. Their problems, and I think what they've got to do right now, is react to game one, and more so in the finals. Each game takes on a totally different look, and I think what are they concerned with? Chris Paul, capital C, capital P, no question, as well as Booker played, as well as Ayton played. Chris Paul orchestrated everything with what he did, particularly with the pick and roll, what he did with their switching defense, the way he abused whoever was covering him, especially the bigs, but all the other people. So I think they've got to sort that out. Drew Holiday is going to play better. Drew Holiday is not going to struggle by his standards as much as he did in game one. And I don't think the Bucks will struggle to score in the paint the way they did last night. I thought both radio, John Barry and Doris Burke, along with Kesty, and I thought certainly Mark and Jeff with Mike Breen, they documented that. They had so many looks in the paint, and this is a dominant paint team. This is a team that dominates most people in the paint and with second chance points. They had their opportunities. They just didn't finish. Yeah, I want to give Phoenix interior defense some credit, but I also want to look at that and say no. They had a ton of opportunities in the paint. They didn't do it. They didn't do nearly the job that they normally do in terms of second chance points. Now, again, when you're spread out all over the floor and you're trying to guard Phoenix or their pick and rolls and you got Ayton rolling down to the basket, you can't dominate in the paint as much, you know, as you'd like to from game to game. But I think there are adjustments that the Bucks can make. I think, yeah, it would be great if they could win game two. You don't want to go down 2-0, but the they've been there before, and I think the series has a long way to go. I think we have conversations after games two and three. Then I think we can start saying, wow, they're in trouble. They can't win this series. To me right now, there were enough positive things that happened from the Bucks standpoint that they can still feel all right with their chances. Phoenix certainly loves where they're at right now.
Coach, just so you know, a little self-scouting report on Chris. After Allen Iverson stepped over Tyronn Lue, he doubled his bet. So that's all you need to know about. That's all you need to know about Chris. But Brook Lopez, 7 for 14 from the field, 3 from 5, 4 from 3, still a -17. You know what I'm saying is maybe the adjustment is much like Ty Lue made, where he took Zubac out and decided to go smaller and play maybe Giannis at the five. So now that he's the guy coming off that pick and roll and he can play more defense and be able to close just the space, even if it's just a couple of feet, cover the space even as, you know, horizontally or vertically, to be able to make those shots a little bit more difficult for CP3. And they got to start making CP3, who's 36 years old, who's never been known as one of the most, you know, conditioned athletes in the game, to be able to have to work on the defensive side of the ball and to maybe get him in some pick-and-roll action and make him have to defend a lot more.
Bart, I like a lot of what you're saying, especially there's no question the most effective they were last night defensively was when they went small late in the game. I do think it's going to be important for them to get Brook Lopez minutes because, again, he was dominant inside. When he got the ball inside, he was able to score. Yeah, he made some threes, which was great. But when he got the ball inside, he was able to score, and he's done that throughout the, you know, in all three of the series. So I think that's part of the challenge for Bud and his staff to figure out how to get some effective minutes out of Brook. There's no question. I think you have to, with CP, as well as he's playing right now, I mean, he's shooting the ball relative. You're not going to shoot well every single game, but you can't let him score big points and get big assists. He had 9 assists, and he could add a couple more if his teammates had made some shots, including Devin Booker. I mean, obviously the 8-1s, they were easy finishes for the most part. DeAndre was great, but Book had some other looks. I mean, Book struggled shooting the ball. Now, he did an excellent job himself getting to the free throw line, which is another, I should have mentioned that, is a Milwaukee problem. Milwaukee's the best in the league virtually the entire year and through the playoffs in terms of not fouling. Usually when you play them, everybody's moaning after the game, how come we didn't shoot very many free throws? Well, it was the opposite last night. Phoenix not only shot them, they're the best shooting free throw team in the league. You know, they were 25 for 26, and the Bucks only shot 16 themselves. So they've got to clean that up. But, I mean, easier said than done. But you can't let CP get a bunch of assists and a bunch of points. You might have to let him go for a big number. Let him make a whole bunch of points. I do think the Bucks have got to figure out a way to get Brook Lopez some meaningful minutes, because I think he's their best shot blocker. He is a dominant force inside, and he has the ability to score both outside on the perimeter and inside. So I think they've got to get some effective minutes out of him. They have to change that coverage in some way. Clearly, when they go small and Giannis is the five, if they're going to switch everything, Giannis is clearly the best option for that. I mean, Brook can't cover Devin or CP, nor can Bobby Portis, nor can half most of the guards in the league, to be truthful. Nobody else is guarding Devin Booker or Chris Paul very well either. It's not just they're big. So I do think it's a problem, but I do think it's a little bit of a conundrum with Brook, because he brings some things to the table that you want. Zubac, you make a good point, but they miss Zubac. When Zubac didn't play in those games at the end, I think Ivica helped them more than he hurt them. It's just Phoenix is so good. If anything, the pick and roll coverage jumped out at you, and the fact that they couldn't cover CP and Devin. But probably a bigger problem for the Bucks, you're talking a team that's led the league in scoring 3 years in a row, including averaging, you know, a record 120 points a game this year. The 105 was the bigger problem. They turned the ball over. They couldn't score in the paint. They didn't get to the free throw line. So, you know, offensively, you can't put that all on Drew. Drew had a very subpar game by his standards. But, I mean, their offense was a bigger problem than their defense. You look at the two regular season games that these guys played, and I know that's a long time ago, and these teams are a little bit different now, but the scores were like 128, 127, and 125, 124, or something like that. So they've got to get sorted out offensively also. And if they put the ball in the basket, make them take the ball out of bounds and get their defense set up a little bit. You know, fast break points were, you know, 20 for Phoenix last night. Everybody kind of thinks of Phoenix, you know, saying, well, yeah, Phoenix was able to outrun them. That's really not the way it was during the regular season. The Bucks are much more of a fast-breaking team. They were like top five in the league. Phoenix was probably in the middle, like 12 or 13. So a lot of things the Bucks didn't do well last night. Maybe they're not going to do them. Maybe Chris belongs on the ledge. I don't know. But I think the Bucks can do a lot of things better and get back in the series. And I still think this has the potential to be a great series.
PJ Carlissimo joining us, of course, ESPN NBA analyst, discussing game one of the finals last night, the Bucks falling behind one game to none to the Phoenix Suns here on Barton Hahn. Now, if you're Mike Budenholzer, what are you focusing on specifically, PJ, in practice the next 2 days?
CP, the pick and roll coverage for sure. Maybe tweaking the offense a little bit. You know, you're so happy that Giannis played. None of us expected him to play. JB was still saying, you know, almost right before they threw it up, I can't believe he's playing. I was shocked, particularly the first 5-7 minutes, the way he played right away. You know, I mean, he got some rebounds. He scored. He went around guys in the half court like they weren't even there. Like three times, I think, from the left side of the floor, he just went around guys. He got a bad offensive call against him because they caught the second one. They didn't catch the first one, but he looked good. He didn't look good, and Stephen A. made a good point with us at halftime on ESPN Radio that he thought maybe the lateral quickness wasn't there. I'm looking forward to watching the game again this morning and seeing if that was the case, because you didn't see Giannis doing as much damage in the full court as you normally do. Again, a lot of that, you know, one feeds off the other. When you give up that many points, you're taking the ball out of bounds when you turn the ball over as much as the Bucks did. So there's no shortage of things for Bud to talk about. But in terms of actually getting on the floor and doing something, I think other than the pick and roll coverage, I think that, you know, at this stage of the year, you don't do very much. But there's a bunch of things for him to talk to his team about to make them realize, hey, guys, you know, we need to score more points in the paint. We need to score more points in transition. That all starts on that other end of the floor. If they keep repeatedly taking the ball out of bounds after made free throws or made baskets, particularly from, you know, CP and DeAndre Ayton, and even to a lesser extent from Book, then they're in trouble. They can't win. They're an underrated defensive team. They were a much better defensive team, field goal percentage, top three in the regular season. These are the two best teams defensively in the playoffs, which people are sleeping on a little bit. You have all the numbers, who's doing this, who's doing that. Neither of them did what they did in the regular season offensively in the playoffs so far. But they've been the two best defensive teams in the playoffs. So I think most of Bud's adjustments are going to be on the defensive end. He's certainly going to be confident Drew Holiday will play a lot better. I'm sure he's holding his breath. Like, what was Giannis like today? Bart, what's it like the day after or 2 days after? Are we going to see a healthier Giannis on Thursday because he played and he's up one step closer to getting back to what we're used to seeing? Or is he going to be sore and tired and, you know, the effort he put out Tuesday is going to hurt him for Thursday night? So I think no shortage of things to look at and talk about with this team, but the number one priority for sure is Chris Paul and how the hell are we going to slow him down a little bit.
Now, like, it was one play I think that really, like, just personify the entire night. I watched Devin Booker get matched up against Bobby Portis, right, on the pick and roll. He does a move. Portis stops it. He had time to back up and do a secondary move. Why aren't the defense blitzing him and getting the ball out of his hands, especially when they're controlling and dominating the ball so much once they come across on the pick and roll? Do you blitz the pick and roll and maybe get the ball out of his hands and make Bridges or somebody else beat you on a consistent basis?
Well, it's easier said than done. First of all, to have an effective, you know, an effective blitz and literally get it out of his hands is one thing. I think they're going to try a whole bunch of different things. I agree with you in terms of they need to change. But they may be a worse team, and you may be, you know, they don't want to get into full rotations for sure. That's one of the reasons that they're trying to do what they can, whether it be the drop or the switch. But Devin or CP can split. If you picture Chris against the Clippers and earlier in the playoffs, teams that did do that and tried to get him, most of the time they didn't even make the quick pass, you know, like and get them necessarily into the rotations. Devin or CP just split it themselves. They beat the trap because it wasn't a good enough blitz. And it's these same guys that you're saying, hey, they can't guard CP or Devin in a one-on-one, which is true. You know, there's virtually very few people in the entire league that can do that. Guess what? They may not be too good blitzing either. You know, when you got a big who can't get down low and who can't really put an effective trap out there against either of those guys, and part of the problem is Devin and CP are both capable of running that pick and roll very, very high because of the fact they can shoot it, you know, and you can't afford to go under. now you're dead. They're in the rearview mirror. You could have your big guy and the primary defender in the rearview mirror, and here comes CP and Devin, you know, down the middle of the lane going to the rim. So they may take their chances with the jump shots. They may take their chances with those guys going for big numbers, but you can't have CP do what he did and get the assist. Book gets his points, and DeAndre Ayton is, like, shooting. I was shocked his percentage went up to 71%. I thought the way he was shooting, I said, this guy's going to be shooting 75% before the playoffs are over. I mean, DeAndre's just dunking the ball or, you know, going to the rim and making the occasional jump shot that he takes. So I think we'll see some blitz. We're not going to see a steady diet of it for sure. They're too good to blitz on a regular basis, and I don't think that's really in the Milwaukee wheelhouse, to be honest with you. I think that's maybe their third, fourth, or fifth option. They'll look at it a little bit, and hopefully it'll work. But I don't think we're going to see a lot of that. We'll see some for sure. I think he'll try it, but I can't imagine it working for any extended period of time.
You're always going to learn when you listen to P.J. Carlissimo talking basketball. Coach, we appreciate the time. Thanks again.
Hey, Chris, great being with you. Bart, always, man. Good talking to you.
Pleasure is mine. I think Chris is off the ledge. He's still on the ledge. He ain't looking over right now.
Oh, PJ Carlissimo.
Be careful.
I appreciate it. My balance is not that great. It's a, you know, a little weeble wobble situation, Bart, you know?
Chris, like, don't look down, huh?
PJ, bringing us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Bart, this is, you know, the Mets, just to change gears for a second here, the Mets have done something here that's just absolutely bizarre to me. They, in the last few minutes, in fact, they have, they ran into the rainout last night.
Yeah.
And Jacob deGrom was supposed to pitch last night. They waited 2.5 hours, hoping that they could get deGrom to pitch last night so he could pitch again Sunday before the All-Star break and get two starts in, really squeezing him for everything he's got. And to me, that's silly when you're dealing with somebody that has had three different little issues in the first half, including a trip to the IL. Right. Well, today, Luis Rojas said that they may consider using him on Sunday in an abbreviated way. What are we doing here? In other words, they may have him go and pitch two or three innings on Sunday.
They're going to do an opener?
What are we doing? If you're the Mets, why would you go and do that with somebody that's had these issues? Are you doing that just to get him out of pitching in the All-Star game? All he has to do is say,
no,
opting out of the All-Star game. I have to be right for my team in the second half.
And I mean, like I said, me and you both agree that that's probably the best thing that they should do, right? Because what that does is that allows Tylan Walker, right, to be able to pitch.
He's probably going to get the nod if DeGrom opts out of the game. Tywan Walker, his teammate.
Yeah, I mean, but you don't do it immediately. You go there and you start getting the festivities and you get your hotel room for free. And then you say, you know what? I woke up and my side hurt a little bit. I don't think I want to risk it. My team is going to shut me down. They told me that they don't suggest that I play. I'm going to head back. And then let Tywan Walker come in and be a hero. So now you're looking at your teammates like, man, that's so great at DeGrom. Tyron Smith is going to be on his resume that he's an all-star. He's going to get an opportunity to deal with the festivities. And you just, and if I'm DeGrom, I'm just sitting back watching the whole thing, just chilling, looking like a G. You look like Christmas came early for Tywan. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's the best thing because also, if you're DeGrom, you've been there. You've done those festivities. I used to watch guys like Jonathan Alden, Ray Lewis say, man, I'm good all the time. And then to be able to do that and also say, listen, I got bigger goals. I got an MVP, a Cy Young, and a championship to win. You know, all you other guys can compete. Let Shohei Ohtani go out and dominate and get all the accolades, all the fanfare, and his ass will be home as soon as the postseason starts.
I could see the Mets being this – what's the word I'm looking for? Moronic. And that is to...
It's a new regime, Chris. It's a new regime.
Is it? Because I'm seeing a lot of the same ideas. Pitch him today. Pitch him on Sunday for three innings. And then have him pitch the first game of the second half next Friday on schedule. Like, that to me, it just makes absolutely no sense. It all you have to do is give this guy some extra time. He could certainly use it if you pitch him today not pitch him again before the break. He had even said he wasn't even planning on going to Denver for the game. So because he was pitching on Sunday, he can opt out of this game easily, give Walker that chance, pitch that first game in the second half and get 8 days off. All I can tell you is that I saw Pedro in 99 light up the radar gun up in Boston at Fenway Park and struck out four in a row and five of the six that he faced. And then the next start out, got his doors blown off by Miami and went on the DL because his shoulder was bad. I just don't want to see a guy go
who's
to
already
an all-star
been injured, who's already been injured three
right.
times. Not once, not
three.
Twice, three times.
3 times he's left starts because of something.
Trikes.
And now you want to let him pitch him on Sunday so that he doesn't have to go to the all-star break. But still, we got to squeeze every little bit of juice out of him. Bart, come on.
Selfish.
We use a clue?
By a vowel.
Maybe. I hate to get annoyed by this stuff, but the common sense, when it gets – common sense just seems to escape sometimes, and it's absolutely mind-boggling.
So you got to ask Vanna for an O, a U, a T. What is it? Opt out. Thank you, Vanna.
Chris Carlin, Bart Scott, Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. In moments – Aaron Rodgers was asked yesterday about whether or not we'd see him in the Packers opener. You're going to hear his response in just moments. Are Packers fans going to be happy? You'll find out after Bart tells you about our friends from the Home Depot.
Get more out of summer with savings on innovative washers and dryers during the 4th of July Savings Day event at the Home Depot. Give your laundry room a much-needed upgrade with big savings in-store and online on top appliances. Right now, you'll save a bundle. Celebrate summer with the 4th of July savings event at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. U.S. only while supplies last. Free deliveries on purchases of $396 or more valid through July 16th. After this, your moment you've all been waiting for. Audio file.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Bart and Han.
Freestyling.
Yeah, every black man don't know every rap song. Just let you know.
See, now why would
you
do that?
Not you, Chris, because I wanted to make it awkward.
You said that like it was accusatory.
I wanted to make it awkward.
Well, you live in awkward. You swim in awkward. You bathe in awkward. It's what you live for. And I love that about you. It is Chris Carlin and Bart Scott. Bart and Han, I'm filling in for Alan today on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. As always, presented by Progressive Insurance. Protecting your small business, it's a big deal. Cover what you've worked so hard for. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com. Let's get to it. Audio files. All right. First up, Bartholomew, Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron.
Yesterday at the match out in Montana, our friends over on TNT were pressing him. Brian Anderson, Charles Barkley, everybody asking, so what's the deal? Will we see you in the Packers opener against the Saints?
Packers, Bears, any idea who's going to be there? Anybody who's going to be quarterbacking in the number 12 jersey?
Yeah, I don't know, B.A. We'll see.
How about September 12th then? How will you go for that one?
What's that one?
That would be the opener against the Saints.
Oh.
All cheesers rejoice.
Yeah, I don't know, B.A. We'll see.
Okay.
I know you're a Milwaukee guy.
I know.
Aaron, everybody is on their toes. They want to know, man. They want to know.
Yeah, but, I mean, I'm just having a good time out here with Tom. I'm trying to talk to him about it. He's going to keep playing or not, you know?
Hey, hey, Aaron, we go way back. You can just tell me. I'll keep it a secret. Hey, I promise I will not put it anywhere.
Charles, I'll tell you this week in Tahoe.
Yeah, he'll be out at the, I'm sure in private he'll tell him, but he'll be out at the golf tournament in Lake Tahoe this week, and I'm sure that Charles will get the scoop. But in the meantime, we will all sit here and wonder what the problem is for Aaron Rodgers, who created this drama and just lets it continue to play out and play out and play out.
Are you anxiously waiting for the outcome of this story, Chris?
I'm more annoyed by it by now. That he has controlled it throughout this offseason to let it be this dumb drama. You're going to play for them again or you're not.
The shelf
what is it going to be?
The shelf life has worn off for you, Christopher.
It has. It officially did yesterday. It really did yesterday. Like, I get it. We all know why we want to hear from you, what we want to hear from you. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see.
Here's the thing.
I'm just trying to focus on having a good time with Brady. Oh, come on.
You're like a kid in Christmas, Chris. But it's going to happen. Christmas is eventually
going to
come.
I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, opened my presents, played with them, wrapped them back up. That was me.
My kids try that. Dad, it's the next day. They no, bro. Not until the sun. Come on. Don't be coming to my room at 12:01. Get the hell out of my room. Fasada don't come.
But this isn't even a present to me. I just want to get it off my plate.
But it's going to be a gift that's going to give, though, Chris. And listen, it's going to come to a conclusion right after the NBA Finals are over. And then after the NBA Finals are over, then you're going to have the NBA draft. Kay Cunningham's going to go to the Detroit Pistons. And then everything's going to clear out for you. And then that's when the A.A. Ryan news is going to be hitting hot fire.
Well, but the real problem here is I think he's got to be careful.
Yeah.
Because he has public sentiment on his side.
A little.
But the more annoying that he gets, the more that goes... Not the other way necessarily, but people stop supporting him.
Are you saying Aaron has a punchable face? Is he going to make your punchable face?
Oh,
list
he's getting on that list right now. He is absolutely getting on that list with his actions right now. Disappointing, Bart. Up next, Amari Stoudemire talking about CP3. Amari was on KJZ this morning, asked about what a championship would mean for CP3.
Chris Paul is a first ballot Hall guy. You know, and I think if he wins this, it's going to solidify his credibility and his legacy even more. This is big for him and his family. But even reaching the finals right now with this team, this is unexpected. I know I didn't have the Suns in the finals to start the season out. I knew there would be a good team and go on a good run. But for Chris Paul, if he wins this NBA finals and get a championship, that's going to put him up there as one of the greatest point guards of all time.
I think the championship thing, Bart, nobody, and the more I've thought about this, nobody's going to remotely look at the fact that he got a lot of help in getting here with a lot of injuries to stars on other teams in every round.
Not at all. It's like one of those things, right? But to Amari's
And right now they're going up against a full boat, I should say, with Giannis out there.
Yeah, exactly. And it wasn't earth-shattering news what he said, right? But it's different levels, like I say all the time, the Hall of Fame, right? And it puts him in an elite air because first thing they say, hey, is he a champion, right? There's some great quarterbacks. Phillip Rivers isn't going to get the same fanfare and love, be it when you go to, like, award ceremonies, you go to special events, as say Drew Brees, because Drew Brees, they both had tremendous careers, but Drew Brees got a championship and he did it in New Orleans. So it's like one of those things, like CP3, like, will get more credibility when it comes to him speaking and saying things, because he's saying things as a great player and as a champion, which is always it's the determining factor when it's a tie.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. It puts him over the top. And
It puts him past Allen Iverson. Because right now, I think Allen Iverson was a bigger phenomenon. He was bigger for the culture. But if you put a championship in CP3's finger, I think that puts him above Allen Iverson. Now, I don't put him above Allen Iverson right now. I damn sure don't put him above Isaiah Thomas. Mm-hmm. Right? And I mean, maybe Stockton. He may have passed Stockton, maybe.
Look, he's right there. I think he will have passed Stockton, even though – you can look at all the numbers for Stockton, too. the championship certainly is going to be a dividing line for him in a very positive way. I will say, well, it would have been different if Giannis wasn't out there. If they lose this series, especially if Giannis wasn't 100%, it would work more against him.
Yeah, we're going to throw him down the paint. We're going to push him to Pistol Pete. He's going to be behind Pistol Pete again.
Well, not quite. But I get what you're saying. Up next.
Tiny Archibald.
Jeremy Fowler, ESPN's NFL insider, on the situation with Jamal Adams and his contract up in Seattle.
Yeah, the context is there's no trade market because the Packers still aren't trading him. I've talked to multiple teams who are not putting themselves all the way out there and wanting Aaron Rodgers, but they're certainly monitoring.
Oh, that's the wrong one. I thought that was the one about Jamal Adams, and in fact, it was about Aaron Rodgers. So my mistake there. But allow me to do a little bit of theater here and pretend as if I'm Jeremy Fowler, if you will. All right? Jamal Adams and the Seahawks don't have a deal done yet, but Jamal Adams wants somewhere in the neighborhood closer to $20 million a year than the $15.5 million a year that would be the highest paid safety number. Bart, Jamal Adams trying to get to $20 million a year? Are you absolutely out of your mind? I mean, what is it? Did I miss something? I understand that he's a very, very good player. But yeah. The Jets made an amazing deal to get rid of him and get the draft picks that they did. And now the Seahawks are starting to see what the problem is here. And Jamal Adams is not a guy that is going to back off of a demand.
Yeah, because he knows what the Seattle Seahawks has given up for him, right? They gave up 2 first-round draft picks, so he knows they will have so much pie on their face. If he walks out the door as a free agent and they've given up 2 first-round draft picks and those are players that they could have drafted, Jeremy Chin was before that, but they could have drafted an outstanding safety and, you know, and used their first-round draft pick, and now they're stuck without a dynamic player and without the 2 first-round draft picks. So he understands that he has more leverage, even though last year immediately – him being in the lineup didn't translate to them being a successful defense, as you know Ken Norton and crew figured it out a little later. But you know, setting the market with Jamal Adams, I don't know, because we know that Mika Fitzpatrick, you know, may be a little bit better. We know that Simmons may be just a little bit better.
He's great. Mika Fitzpatrick is definitely better.
Yeah, and Derwin James, when healthy, you know, is a little bit better. So I mean, I don't know if he's going to be able to set the market, but he'll be the next one up.
Look. I get wanting to be the highest paid safety. Wanting to blow that number away, at least understand, yes, you've got leverage because of what they gave up for you.
Yeah.
But do you see them going to 20?
Oh, hell no. Because yeah. It's going to stop them from being able to, you know, lock up everybody else today. Like they just
to me, that will be the contract that will send the Seahawks spiraling in the other direction.
Yeah, because Bobby Wagner is getting older. He may have maybe one or two seasons left. I don't know if they re-signed KJ Wright, but they really have a hole because they lost Shaquille Griffin at the cornerback position. So they're looking for a corner. They need help at the corner position because their pass defense wasn't great last year. You know, remember all the yards that they gave up to Dallas and to other teams early in the season, and they were giving up 400 or 500 yards of offense, you know, on the defense side of the ball. So they need help, and, you know, that's why it's been rumors that maybe Richard Sherman said he's not opposed to a reunion, but, you know, he's 75,000 years old.
Mm. That is Audiophiles, friends, on Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. Up next, injuries aside, it has been an exciting NBA season, to be sure, because so many teams had a shot. That may not be changing anytime soon. We'll explain what we mean next. Chris Carlin, Bart Scott, Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Bart and Hahn.
I absolutely could not get enough of the structure of the NBA playoffs this year.
What? Oh, my bad. I thought I was back in the club, son. Cool. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Got to get that hood right out of me. Wow. You're the people's champ, man.
I understand that, and I celebrate that. I celebrate your entire catalog of everything that you are. It is Chris Carlin in for Alan Hahn on Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus with the inimitable Bart Scott. And I don't even know what that word means, but that's what he is.
Sounds
and
smart. Smart. That sounds educated.
That's it does sound right educated. There. And I have a degree in English and still don't know what that means. Bart, I do love the fact that we had the play-in tournament this year, and I was very encouraged to hear this from Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner, yesterday.
It's my expectation that we'll continue it for next season. We both, of course, need agreement from our teams and the Players Association. And I know, you know, Michelle Roberts doesn't have an easy job. She has 450 players. Some maybe have louder voices than others at the table. But again,
LeBron,
subtle shot.
Although there were critics, not just LeBron, but you know, others who weren't.
Name names.
Maybe some teams who weren't thrilled with it. I think overall it was very positive for the league and the players. I mean, certainly there have been some suggestions about some tweaks we should consider. But again, I think once we bring it back to our owners for a vote and the Players Association meets and has an opportunity to consider it, it's my expectation that it'll continue for next season.
And it should, because it got the desired effect, right? It was, number one, to keep teams from tanking down the stretch of season.
Did anybody tank this year other than the Pistons?
I mean, there were a couple of teams that were out of it early. I mean, you know, but they weren't, it wasn't at the level of before. Like, put it this way. How many times did you actually hear the word tanking?
I did not.
Exactly. And that's the point. So for me, that's fantastic. And number two, just the intrigue that it builds up, you know.
Chris.
Yeah.
This is the best thing to happen to basketball since the three-point line. This is, you want to know why? Because guess what? If Phoenix isn't in the bubble last year, you think Chris Paul's going there? No. He saw this team like, oh, what the potential, what it could be, and saying, oh, man, I can make this team better. And this year, they're in the championship and the favorite to win the championship. That's the power of the bubble.
Look, there were
The bubble, the play-in tournament, I apologize.
No, but there were two or three teams, Houston, Oklahoma City, the Pistons, you know, the Magic as well, that really didn't have a shot. But beyond that, it wasn't 12 teams deciding.
Golden State was in the playoff tournament. We got to see Steph Curry go crazy.
I agree. And they're doing it against the Lakers, which made it even better, even though LeBron hated it.
That's because it made LeBron have to work. He couldn't just stroll into the playoffs and work his way in.
I'm not a LeBrick fan. It's Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.